The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that wedding. Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Hello, welcome to another end of month Yahwah.
Yahwah. This is, again, you guys, I say this every Yahwah, it's packed. We have a ton of questions. We have a couple of voicemails, which are also questions, dilemmas. I feel like this is a very international episode. There's a lot of talk here of like, yeah, there's a lot here about destination weddings. There's a lot here about food having to do with like two cultures. So this is a good one. Also a pregnant bride. Which I feel like, Christy, you need to answer that one, just you, because you have the experience there, as does most of your family, so I've learned over the years.
Yeah.
So, really big Yahwah. We're excited to get to it. We first have a couple of housekeeping items, because you know what?
What?
We can. We'll start a podcast.
Oh, we can.
We have some housekeeping.
Yes, we can do what we want.
We can. We will. And we must.
Yeah, you put together this outline. So it's like half of this is like new to me. I'm looking through it now. Very good. We got so many emails. Like the emails that we pick to put on a Yahwah are ones we think will help a lot of people or like a unique situation, or we haven't addressed that recently. But it is like our inbox is revving up. And we respond to every single email. So if you haven't gotten a response yet, but you've emailed us a wedding question, you will get a response. We're trying hard to keep up with it, but it is definitely indicative of everybody getting married again.
Yeah.
Weddings
Tons of emails. We get to them as we can.
Which is, you know, within a week usually for the most part. But the questions, there are so many questions about we already had a little wedding to, you know, eloped or
yes.
We had a virtual wedding and now we're doing this. And so if you're in that boat where we've already been legally married and we had a thing and now we're having another thing. And what do we say? What do we put on the invitations? Do we need a wedding website? All of that. I suggest you hit up our Instagram grid for the live sessions that we do once a week, because I feel like we've answered that question in some form multiple times, and each time we'll drop a little bit of, you know, insight about what we're seeing and what other people are doing. So if that's your conundrum, check out, you know, those are hour long Instagram lives.
They're like another episode of a Yahwah is basically what those lives are, but they're more loose. They're obviously not edited. And we're talking to people in real time with those often that are typing in comments. Sometimes people pop up with us. So
they're clarifying.
It's another one that you can listen to, you know, on your walk or on your commute or whatever the hell you're doing. And, you know, recently, too, I've been having so many discussions with wedding professionals, you know, others in the industry, because weddings are, it's now like, boom, it's happening. It's happening now as we open up. And I got to tell you guys, if you're having a wedding this year, you know, if you need rentals, if you need any sort of inventory of any kind, get on that. Get on it now, because the shit's hitting the fan. And a lot of people are looking for employees. Like catering companies are looking for people to work, venues, because a lot of people got furloughed, you know, while we were all waiting for things to come back. And now it's really hard to find good people. So please, we need good people in the industry.
Little PSA.
I want to help out my peeps, my fellow, you know, because it helps the couples getting married. You've got to have good staff. Period. End of story. I think we should talk about masterclass for just a minute, okay? And just hang in there, people, because there's a big reason for this. You are listening to this on the Wednesday, perhaps before Memorial Day of 2021. And that means that we are having a sale on the masterclass. So right now, I did it like this. This is how we scaled it. The first five people to purchase during the sale get $150 off. That's a big ass discount. Mm-hmm. And then the next 10 people to buy it get $100 off. And then the next final people to buy it get $75 off. So either way, it's a good discount, but obviously the first one is the more
beneficial. If they go and they put in the first code and then it says not allowed, it's because more have already come before them. Yeah. Then you just try the second one.
Right. So here's how I did the codes. It's M day for Memorial Day, M day, and then the number of the discount. So M day 150 is for that 150 off. And then M day 100, Christy, what would that be?
$100 off.
Very good.
Thank you.
And then finally, M day 75.
Mm-hmm. $75 off. Yeah, I get it. Right. So if you're listening and you want the masterclass, pause right now and go to our website.
Get your ass on the internet.
Yes, put in the promo code MDAY150 to see if you are fast enough.
And this is a really good gift, everybody. You know somebody getting married. They're planning their own wedding. They can't hire a full-fledged wedding planner. This is a really great gift. If you're part of a wedding party, y'all can pitch in. Mm-hmm. Also, all those month of coordinators out there right now listening that have clients, you want them to have our masterclass. You want them to hand over their wedding very well organized and well done. So really good.
So what's the website?
Oh, the website is thebigweddingplanningmasterclass.com.
Very good. And then when you go to purchase, try those codes. And we wanted to give a little shout out to all the overachieving mamas that are purchasing the masterclass. We've gotten a couple notes from you. I'm not the bride. I'm not groom. I'm a mom and I'm helping. And for the mom that likes to stay organized and has time to do this wedding planning thing in an official capacity, this masterclass would be perfect for them as well to kind of say thank you and help them in the process.
And happy late Mother's Day, mommies. I hope y'all had a lovely Mother's Day. Well, we have some new Patreon members to thank, and just a shout out, if you want to support the podcast, Patreon is a way to do it, just like for a little something a month, you know? Most people do the makeout session, which is $5 a month. But there are others. We do go beyond making out.
Yeah, I think really, you know, in a virtual way, we really fill you up on the makeout session. Like, you get a good experience out of it.
It's like
the newsletter, the Zooms.
Second base.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's like a solid makeout session. It's not just like two minutes at your doorstep. If you know what I mean.
No. Like, we're on the couch. We've been there a while.
Yes.
We're hot, sweaty, and we get a lot of face.
Our shoes are off. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Shoes are off.
That's what you get for $5 a month.
So you can join Patreon and become a member, and you get those bonus episodes, which are super fun. We do Zoom cocktail hours, and Christy does a fucking kick-ass... Ooh, I dropped an F-bomb right there.
I like it.
We don't do it that often, though. Christy does a kick-ass newsletter. So go to our website, click on Patreon, and then, you know, you'll see bigweddingplanningpodcast.com. Click on Patreon. And right now we want to thank these lovely humans because we love them extra. Yes. And we're going to make out soon.
So much. Amber D, Laura G, Tony D, Karina A, Lauren G, Caitlin S, and Carrie with a K, L, Carrie L. Thank you all for becoming members.
Thank you for being Patreon members. You really are keeping us afloat. And everybody listening should be thanking them too, because that's why you are listening.
That's true.
To this episode. One of the reasons. actually. On to reviews. You all have been really bringing it, okay, with these reviews. Like, they're extra. These are extra. And I love them so much. And it's just, thank you. So just so you know, the reviews on Apple Podcasts are what help get the word out and helps build our audience, which we need. So if you have a moment, wouldn't you just be a dear and just get on your iPhone and just friggin', you know, leave us a review, but only if it's 5 stars, okay? We don't really want to see anything else but 5 stars. But, you know, just be honest. Just be honest. No pressure. I'll go first. I'll start with the one called I'm Obsessed with these cute little emojis. I love the emojis. They're so cute. From Sydney 0909. 5 stars, by the way. 5 stars. And it says, I recently got engaged this past winter and within the past couple months have already begun to start planning. I found this podcast a few weeks ago and I'm obsessed. I love listening on my way to and from home and work because Christy and Michelle provide such great advice and info and make me laugh. I also love how inclusive they are and how they recognize diversity. They're truly amazing at what they do and the podcast has really helped with even the earliest stages of wedding planning. I definitely recommend TBWPP to anyone planning a wedding, especially if you don't know where to begin, like I didn't.
Very good. I love a little firsthand experience there.
Sydney, thank you.
The next one is a new favorite podcast, 2 exclamation points. That means it's double the awesome from right. Queen B with another little emoji bringing it. I am a relatively new wedding planner. So I'm listening from the vendor perspective, and I can say it's infinitely helpful to get information from 2 extremely successful planners who frame things from the couple's point of view, which reminds me of things I don't always think about. I just discovered the podcast about a month ago. I'm still only in 2018, listening chronologically, and I've already gained so much. I have listened to a handful of wedding podcasts geared toward vendors, and this is the first I'd found that didn't make me feel like I was being sold something. I truly do learn something valuable. Ahem, an 8-page running Google Doc filled with notes. Oh, she's taking notes.
What a wedding
planner.
And
I'm entertained at the same time. Thank you, Michelle and Christy, for all you do by selflessly sharing your time and expertise with the world. You're welcome.
I love that. That's why I feel like that it is for anybody. It's not an industry facing and it's not just a couple, it's for anybody involved with planning a wedding. That's why I say that.
Yeah, we should put that in the intro.
Should we say that more often?
It's in there.
All right. Okay. The last one I'm going to read is from Windy City Thrifter. Do you think this person lives in Chicago?
She may have become
Isn't that
a
the
patron.
Windy City? Isn't that the Windy City?
Yes.
Chicago?
Yes. Okay.
And it's titled Giving Me the Confidence to Plan My Wedding Again.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, oh, it's also 5 stars. it says, my partner and I got engaged May of 2019, and we hit the pavement with wedding planning right away. Within a few months, we found our venue, photographer, my wedding dress, my bridesmaids' jumpsuits. By the way, jumpsuits, how cute is that? And thrifted most of our decor for our September 2020 wedding. Cue the pandemic and all plans fell by the wayside, with my partner's family being nearby and my family living far away, we had to make the difficult decision to elope on our original date, just us, our friend who officiated, and a photographer. We knew we were going to pick back up with the planning in 2021, but with learning that nothing is certain the first time around, it felt so daunting to make a plan that we wouldn't have to reschedule. Then I heard Christy and Michelle speak with Caroline from Wedfleet. Oh, shoot! And I finally figured out a way to confidently move forward with wedding planning in these uncertain times. This forward momentum is all thanks to Michelle and Christy, and I have continued to learn so much that will help us celebrate our special day. Every episode is engaging and full of great information. We are so ready to hashtag plan that wedding. So thank you so much, Christy and Michelle. And that's from Caitlin, you sweet freaking Caitlin. That's with a K.
She might be one of the patrons. There is a Caitlin up there.
I think she is a patron.
Yeah, good job.
I think so. And by the way, Caitlin, Caroline from Wedfully texted me and told me that you're adorable and you were very sweet and very complimentary about the podcast episode. So, boom! It's
full circle. Awesome.
Whew! All right, we got to get to this.
What do we start with? Okay. A voicemail?
Well, we have a voicemail. We have a voicemail from sweet little Sophie. So let's listen.
Hey, Michelle and Christy. My name is Sophie. I've been engaged for about 2 months now, and I jumped right into wedding planning thanks to you guys. You have been kind of my right-hand women, just keeping me sane and giving me a great resource to be able to kind of use for all of my questions. So I immediately started planning, and my fiance and I actually live in Hawaii, and all of our family lives back on the mainland. So our first issue that we were kind of dealing with was, where do we want to have our wedding? Either back home in Texas on the mainland or here in Hawaii. And it kind of was a challenge because we had lots of family members with really strong opinions about where we should have it and also who we should invite. So we did resolve kind of the initial issue of where to have the wedding. We've decided to have it here in Hawaii, and we feel great about that decision. It's our home right now. We love it here, and it's a great opportunity to kind of have a destination wedding. But we haven't quite resolved the issue of the guest list. I have a pretty big family. My fiance has a smaller family, but his mom, my future mother-in-law, has lots and lots of people that she wants invited. Same goes with my side of the family. My dad, his girlfriend of about a year, has a lot of family that are wanting to come, that have kind of assumed an invite before we've even had a chance to make any official plans. So we're kind of running into an issue there. The reason that it's a little more complicated than I think it would normally be is that there are still some COVID rules in place in Hawaii that are keeping us from being able to just invite, you know, everyone under the sun. So the rule right now is weddings can be 100 people max, and that includes, you know, wedding staff, catering, a planner, an officiant. All of those people are included in that number. So that makes it a little tricky. We don't know where we'll be at in a year. We're planning the wedding for June of 2022. We don't want any hurt feelings. My kind of initial idea that we may or may not go with is, we thought that with the save the dates, we would send a little info card that explains what the regulations are right now in Hawaii and just let our guests know that the sooner you RSVP, the better chance you have of having a spot at our wedding. But I don't like how, you know, exclusive that sounds. It's basically like a first come, first serve basis for people outside of our immediate family. And I'm just wondering if you two have any thoughts on how to execute that, how to let people know that right now we can really only plan for less than 100 people, but we hope that something will change and we'll be able to, you know, have everyone come. My other quick question to go along with that is, I would love just any insight that the two of you have on how to make this destination / COVID wedding like comfortable for everybody. We've got lots of transportation that we're already arranging. I'm wondering if everyone should be staying, you know, at one resort. Is how much of that we should control and do for our guests, and how much of it we should just leave up to them. So thank you guys so much in advance for answering these questions and listening to my long rambling emails. I'm really thankful for you both and hope you have a great day.
Okay, Sophie, so thank you so much for your voicemail and calling in, and just everybody listening, the voicemails, we love, 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 love. So if you want to call us, it's 415-723-1625. Now, Sophie, first of all, I'm really happy that you're having the wedding in Hawaii. I think that it's an amazing destination, first off, like I'm there. And secondly, like it's easier for you. So that's good. Yes. Geez, family members and their opinions, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's got an opinion. And you know, I have opinions. This is why I'm about to give you my opinion.
Right.
But, you know, you take them with a grain of salt and you do what feels best to you. A lot of people are in your situation right now. Everybody right now and does not know. Like right now I have weddings in October, September and October. I am not even trying. Like I know there's certain regulations right now by the CDC or the CHP? No, California Department of CDH. Uh-huh. But those are going to change after June 15th. So we're just kind of sitting back and we're waiting for it. Now, I hear that you are eager to send out save the dates.
And you should traditionally send out save the dates a year in advance of a destination wedding.
Totes.
This is right. Just tricky.
I don't think you should do the little info card and, you know, tell people to RSVP soon so they can get a spot, because that's actually taking things out of your control, Sophie. You don't want like a bidding war over who gets to come to your wedding. Ready? You know what I mean? And so I think we both, Christy and I both feel like just send save the dates to the 100 people right now. And don't worry about it. Things are going to change. And you might even end up being able to have 200 people in a year from now. I mean, this is a year from now. So I think you should just do that and sit on it and just, you know, take a step and take a breath and don't trip, don't stress, and don't talk about it anymore with your family, because they're just going to drive you nuts and they're going to make you eager to do some sort, you know, be forced into making a decision that you don't need to even make right now.
Yeah. If I think you and your partner need to get a list whittled down to 100 people, that is your A list. And then you have a B list of people that if you are able to invite them, either because you're allowed to have more guests or because people in the A list decline, then you can invite B list people. No one's going to RSVP on a save the date, because that's not what save the dates are. But you might still hear from people if they know they for sure can't come. And then you would pull up some B list and send them a save the date. And we're saying 100 because you mentioned that it can be 100 people max. And that includes wedding staff. We don't ever want people to send out more invitations than they have capacity for, betting that people won't come. But this is a pretty good bet that of those 100, enough will say no, that you could have the wait staff if it's still a 100-person limit. And Michelle and I don't think it will still be a guest count capacity limit like that in a year, but there's no way of knowing. So you know that that's the tricky situation you're in, and we just think the simplest way to move forward for now is to send out a save the date that is just informing those 100 people on your A-list of the island and the date. And then later on, when you're about, what do you think, like 3 months out, 4 months out, you send the invitation.
I mean,
that has
so much is going to change after this summer.
Yeah.
I really do feel. And after more people get the vaccine, here's the other thing. She doesn't want any hurt feelings. Probably everybody knows that this wedding is happening. And then she's probably thinking, oh my gosh, those 100 people are going to get the STDs. save the dates. And then the other people who were expecting one are going to hear about it and that they didn't get one. And they're going to be like, what's up with that? Now, the reverse of this happens last year. Before people knew about COVID, they sound out a save the date to like 200 people, right? And then they had to whittle it down to 25.
Yeah.
So they had to do the explaining afterwards. So it's not like you can't send, let's say, I'm using the word 200, the number 200, but it's not like you can't send the 200 and you can put an insert about the COVID. You can do this, but I would definitely not say, make sure you send in your RSVP really quick because it's, you know, whoever sends them in first gets to come to the wedding. That is no, I would not do that.
Yeah.
If you want to put in some wording, like you never know what can happen. Here's our wedding website. We'd love everybody to be there. Our fingers are crossed.
That we'll be able to
invite
more.
And make sure you
more.
Check our wedding website for information. You can do that. And a lot of people have.
Yeah.
So I think it between those two scenarios, either you send out all of them and do the little cross your fingers verbiage, cross our fingers, it'll happen and we can have everybody check back at this website. You know what I mean? We hope everybody can come. You can do that or just send out the 100 save the dates. Make sure your wedding website is still on there. And then, like Christy said, A-list, B-list method, which you should do regardless, by the way, with both of these scenarios. Whatever you decide to do, you should still have an A-list, B-list on a spreadsheet. And so that way you've got that part figured out too, which will kind of help you mentally, you know, kind of know like who's on, who's the 100, and then who are the, you know, in order come up next, right?
Yeah, on deck.
But don't rush anybody or urge anybody to RSVP quickly so that they can be the ones to come to the wedding.
Yes. And general insight we have about destination weddings is you do want the invitation, the official invitations, to go out a little earlier than you would if it wasn't on an island many hours away. Mm-hmm. So consider, you know, doing that. And by then your list for sending out actual invitations might be different based on some of the response you get from the save the date. Also based on response you're getting from the county in Hawaii or the resort or the laws. So you might send out more invitations at that point. It's still going to be early enough that people can make plans if they want to come to it. And then as far as everybody staying at the same resort or you arranging transportation, this is one of those, these both fall under the category of you're doing a courtesy for your guests.
Right. We didn't, yeah.
But it's not, once you offer, here's the resort we're staying at, we have room blocks, or call this number to make a reservation, something like that. It's up to the guests. So if they don't stay at the resort, then they need to, you know, take care of themselves, where they're staying, how they're getting there, what day they're coming in, things like that. And transportation is a tricky, unpleasant part of wedding planning, I think. So if you're on an island, there's probably just one big airport everybody's going to be coming into. And if everything's at the resort, I don't think you need to do a ton of transportation arranging yourself. It really should be kind of what the guests are doing, unless you have like an excursion or something from the resort. But if you're at the resort, the wedding's at the resort, the reception's there, any transportation would be to and from the resort. Like it would leave, the bus is going to leave and we're going to go on this, you know, sunset cruise for our rehearsal dinner. Then you arrange that transportation. And in my experience, the resort manager that you're working with, the events manager there, will be very helpful with these referrals and recommendations and how they usually do it. It's always best to check with them before you start like assuming what you think would be easiest or best in that situation.
And the way you make people feel comfortable, I think the word as opposed to comfortable, because you can't make people feel comfortable, but you can make them feel like more like as part of the group or included by, like Christy said, having the transportation for your events surrounding the wedding, by having a welcome gift for them as they check into the room, or a little letter, and you know, just giving them some good old like FaceTime and like really happy to see you. beyond that, I mean, listen, people who where the sky is the limit for their budget, there's all sorts of things you can do. But we don't talk to those budgets because we don't feel like most of the people that listen to this podcast are of those budgets. But I mean, I've heard of all kinds of crazy things for destination weddings, you know, getting people a massage, doing a dinner for everybody, then doing this and then doing that. But at the end of the day, if they're going to Hawaii, they're staying at a beautiful resort, they're probably going to want to do some stuff on their own. And just give them a little something in their room and make sure that you really do thank them for taking the time and the resources to go so far and be with you on your wedding. At your wedding.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for that voicemail. This episode of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast is sponsored by Zola. Zola makes wedding planning easier and less stressful by creating everything couples need all in one place. Wedding vendors, save the dates, invitations, free websites, registry, and more.
We love Zola. We have been recommending Zola to our clients forever. And recently, we've been sent a few wedding websites of listeners that created their websites through Zola. And they look so good. And we're so proud of you when you do those awesome wedding websites. And we're big, big fans of the Zola platform for that. Another reason we love Zola is because you can now find your wedding vendors. So you can target your search by finding vendors in your area, and all vendors are pre-screened on the Zola website.
And you can get your save the dates and invitations. There's hundreds of amazing, beautiful, affordable designs. And you can get a feel for their paper before you purchase with free personalized samples. Lots of people order their invites and STDs through Zola.
The free wedding website, as I mentioned earlier, is Zola's bread and butter, we like to call it, since the original Zola was the awesome registry, and then the wedding website was next, and we love both. So you can create the free wedding website all through Zola. All of those beautiful designs match the save the dates and the invitation, and it takes minutes, like literally minutes.
And your registry, as always, is like a no-brainer. Through Zola, it's the most fun and easy registry to use. Christy and I have used it. Our clients have used it. It's thoughtful. It's well-designed. They have smart tools. They have 24/7 access to support that you really don't find anywhere else. Like, there's actual humans on the other end of the phone. So it's a no-brainer. Just go with Zola. Zola.com/bigwedding.
And use promo code SAVE50. SAVE50. That's SAVE50 to get 50% off the Save the Dates. You can also get free personalized paper samples before you purchase, of course. That's Zola.com/bigwedding. Promo code SAVE50.
Thank you, Zola. We want to thank another lovely sponsor, Manly Bands. Manly Bands, they're the best damn rings, period. Okay. We know this because we see them on our husband's beautiful fingers, right?
That's right. They both wear a Manly Band.
They both wear Manly Bands. So basically, Manly Bands is the best. You go to manlybands.com/bigwedding. You're going to get a discount. They have this really awesome ring sizer, okay? So you order that. It comes to your house. You have the ring sizer. You figure out the exact size of the ring. By the way, not just for the men, but women too. There's a lot of beautiful bands like that. There's that rose gold one, which I still think I need to get. And then once you know the size, it's time for the fun part, because Manly Bands has an insane selection of materials to choose from. I'm talking gold, wood, antler. Seriously, antler. Seal, dinosaur bone, and meteorites. The meteorites that killed the dinosaurs. You can get a ring made out of that, too.
Every time we read that, I'm like, meteorite ring? But it's a thing.
How is that possible?
And yeah, it's a thing. You can get it from Manly Bands, and that would be really cool, and it's unique, and what a story to tell when somebody compliments the ring on your finger.
They're like, is that platinum? No, actually, it's a meteorite. So
there you go.
Top that one. they have free shipping worldwide. That means all over the world, by the way, just in case you didn't get that. They have a 30-day exchange policy and a free warranty. So, you know, this is a no-brainer. Go to manlyvans.com/bigwedding. They're going to give you 21% off. 21% off. manlyvans.com/bigwedding. The best damn rings, period.
Thank you, Manly Bands.
Okay. Next question is an email.
So, yeah, this is about invitations for how to address invitations for different family members in different circumstances.
Okay. So this is from, we don't know the name, but I'm going to read. Oh, Karina. I have a question about addressing invitations. Due to COVID restrictions and an overabundance of caution, my fiance and I decided to do a pretty small wedding of 60 guests, which is hard with two Mexican families. Oh, yeah, it is. That's really hard. How did you do that? Okay. We have also decided to stream our wedding to include family members we can't invite to physically come to the wedding. Okay, that's good. Because of this, we are having three types of invitations. One, the physical, the in-person guest invitation. Two, the virtual guest invitation. And three, the hybrid invitation, where part of a single household is invited physically and the other is virtually. For the hybrid, it's mostly split between parents who are invited in person and their kids, ages ranging from 1 year to over 21.
Yeah.
Who are invited virtually. My question is how to address these hybrid invitations. Should I have two separate invites in the envelope with the parents' names on one card and the other with the kids' names? Or if they are older kids, maybe 15 or older, should they just get a completely separate invite? I'm not sure what makes the most sense. Thank you for your advice. Oh boy, this is complicated.
Yeah, I had to read it twice, but it's actually not asking that difficult. So, you know, she has 50 family members that she's straight up inviting the entire 60. Household, let's say, like just dividing it up numbers wise, like they are all supposed to be physical guests. And then you go further down the tree, the family tree, and let's say there's a bunch of cousins and like family friends that they can't have there physically. So those people are just going to get invited to the virtual, the Wedfully, the Zoom, whatever is set up. And it's more that you're just informing them that it's happening and inviting them. It's a nice thing to do, but like some people are going to be into that. Some people are not. And then the third is I'm inviting my aunt and uncle physically, but I cannot invite their kids who are teenagers physically. Is kind of how I can't invite them, but I'd like them to go to the virtual. So you're setting both up. And I said, we have talked about this a lot, but never this specific angle.
Right.
So I said, I think you just send to that household where you're only inviting aunt and uncle and you're telling the cousins about the virtual. I think you should send the main in-person invitation to the aunt and uncle. It has their names on it. Mm-hmm. That's it. And you address those invitations to those two people using those full names. Then if they have kids in the household, you just include an insert in that main invitation, not a whole separate invitation, just an insert that is basically informing them that it will be live stream and that they can watch it virtually. And it doesn't have to have their names on it even necessarily or be some printed formal invitation. I hope this makes sense. You can also send the invitations to the in-person guests first, just the in-person. Only those people get their invitations first. And then you send out like a little postcard or mailer or evite to all of the virtual guests several weeks later. So either one of my answers does not include a handheld invitation to by itself in its own separate envelope. I don't think you need to opt for that to the virtual wedding. And then she wrote back and said, so for the households with kids that are not invited, you're suggesting that we include that virtual invitation, but we don't necessarily have to like have it in an envelope with their names on it. And I clarified by saying that an insert is a little different than an invitation. Like I imagine like a little postcard size insert that says how you're going to stream it, what time the streaming will start, what they can log into, and the wedding website. And then you could just hand write like, hey, Jane and Hank, I would love for you to join us on the live stream that we're setting up for the wedding. And we hope to celebrate with you in person later. And that just makes it clear, like, this is a, you're doing this because of the circumstances. And if they want to join, that's how they would. But it's very clear that they're not invited to the physical wedding.
I think that's the best thing too. Like I think also even I'm just thinking of my tios, my aunts and uncles. Like if I send it one to my oldest tios, my uncles and aunts, they would be like, wait, what are these two things? So I would, even if you make it on really pretty paper and have it printed professionally, perhaps it's even almost like a letter, like an 8.5 by 11 letter that says, really like very personal, but obviously it's not going to be addressed to each person. You know, you have the regular invitation for your uncles and aunts or whoever the family members are. And then on the letter you say, and kind of put your heart into it, like, we really wish everybody could be with us in person, but the names on the outside of this envelope which you received are the people in the household who can be there in person. And the rest of you, we cannot wait to see your faces on Zoom or however it's happening. And this is how it works. And, you know, you can also look at our wedding website, which is here. And we can't wait to interact with you. We still will see you. We'll know you're there. You know what I mean? And you can kind of make it a little more personal on that, you know, inserted envelope. Inserted letter.
Yeah. Like
that's
like
in the same envelope inside as the invitation. Yeah. Yeah. And you can literally just write like whoever's, you know, name is on the outside of this envelope, that's who we are able to have physically at the wedding. And we can't wait to see the rest of you virtually on Zoom. And, you know, if you can also afford financially to do something that would allow some sort of interactive, like send a little, you know, kit with drinks or, I don't know, some bells to ring or whatever it is. And if you're working with Wedfully, they have great ideas of how to make things interactive with the people who are at home watching virtually, which you might have heard this already, but we have Wedfully is one of our partners. They're on our website. You get a $100 discount off of their service for the virtual weddings. So check them out. But yeah, I think that's the right answer, Christy. It seems confusing, but it can be simple in that way.
Yeah, but a separate formal addressed in an envelope invitation is not necessary for the virtual component. That's what we're getting at. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. All right. Number three, our third question today is from Sydney. She sent us an email. This is a food situation for a multicultural wedding. I have not answered Sydney. She just sent this a few days ago. So I did email her and told her to tell her to listen to Yawa. So here it is. She says, hey there, Michelle and Christy. I just want to say thanks for creating such an awesome podcast. It's been an amazing resource for helping me to plan my wedding. She says, unfortunately, I didn't see an episode that addressed this specific issue that I'm having, so I decided to write in. Excellent. We love it. My fiance and I are having our wedding in October of 2022, and we're starting to plan things out and create a budget and look at vendors, etc. My fiance, Jonathan, is Mexican, and I am white. We're both from the U.S., but he and his family definitely have a lot of traditions and customs that we will be incorporating into the wedding. One of these will be the food. Most of the Mexican weddings and parties we've been to normally serve carnitas, which is pork, rice and beans and tortillas. We want to provide this for our Mexican guests, who will likely be the majority of the guests, because we feel that this is what they will be expecting. But I want to provide other options for members of family who maybe don't eat pork and are probably expecting other options, such as chicken or beef. Our plan for the Mexican food is to buy the carnitas already cooked, and then my future mother-in-law would be making all the rice and beans, and we would have a buffet style. What I am wondering is, are we able to do that, but also have a catering company as well to provide more options for my side of the family and other friends of ours who maybe aren't too keen on Mexican food? Please help. And this is from Sydney.
Who isn't keen on Mexican food? Who?
Well,
in the world?
I don't know. First of all,
we don't know those people.
I don't know, but I'm sure there are people out there who exist. But I do know there are a lot of people who don't want to eat pork.
Yes.
And Sydney, your fiance's family may be used to carnitas, but not every Mexican wedding has to have the carnitas. You can have carne asada, you can have chicken, you can have different proteins here.
Yeah.
And not do the pork, first of all. That was my first like, wait.
For sure, because
we don't need
carnitas is like shredded meat in a sauce. Like they're going to scoop yes. that right onto the tortilla. So I would suggest
easy and I easy can't fix. Eat it, by the way, because traditionally it has some milk in that sauce. So I don't ever eat the carnitas. That was my one comment. And then the other thing, Sydney, is a lot of caterers do not want to touch or be a part of a wedding where there is homemade food or food from another source because there could be some liability issues. So I don't know where you are. I have no idea what state you're in or, you know, what county. But here, for me, I know in Cali, that's usually not an option.
But they don't – but a restaurant doesn't – that's a catering, like – catering the meal, they're coming, they're serving it. They wouldn't serve, they wouldn't even touch the Mexican
right,
food.
That
but
food.
Also they might right. not want to be a part of the event if there's other food served because if somebody gets sick, blah, blah, blah. The
right.
go
Whose
around,
food was it?
Yeah. The fix for that is if you are having a fairly casual wedding where instead of getting it catered, you're picking up or having somebody deliver the food that they're just delivering it. Like if you go to, a Cheesecake Factory and you can order the catering sized portions of like their famous chicken salad that everybody loves. And then one of their pasta dishes and that comes in those foil trays. And you could have a second buffet basically that has that kind of food that is from a restaurant, but is not necessarily fall under that. Like once you take it out of their restaurant, they're not going to ask you, are you serving this at an event with other food being served? Like it's, you bought it, it's to go basically. So you could do that with like any one of the,
but
you know,
need servers though.
Yes. But then I was going to say on top of the the one restaurant and the homemade food, you would need to look into a staffing company, which is not that hard. I mean, there are staffing companies in every place.
Well, there it's usually next year in 2022 it might not be as hard. It would be this year, but next year
and these are like waiters and bartenders basically that you pay by the hour that come and do what they need to do and then they leave. So a staffing company might be something that you need to think about.
And then there's a couple of other things. I can tell that your fiance's family wants like legit. Like if your mother-in-law is saying that she's going to cook the rice and beans, they might want, you know, a certain type of food. But here's a couple of alternatives. One, you find a catering company that'll do a fusion menu that has really good Mexican food and American food and leave it up to the executive chef to come up with some great dishes that would go well together. Like maybe there's some pastas, maybe you have the tortillas, but you also have like different types of proteins, including the rice and beans. Maybe you have stations and they are international stations. There's a Mexican station. There's maybe an Italian station or pizza or whatever it is. Like have stations of food and let people go and do it like a buffet style, right? That means they can grab what they want of what they want. But again, leaving this up to a catering company that's really does delicious food and can get that authentic taste. And some executive chefs may even consider getting your mother-in-law's recipes and incorporating some of this stuff. Perhaps, perhaps. They might be open to it. Mm-hmm. Or I have also seen where the cocktail reception, let's say, is all Mexican food or all American food, right? It could be like, you could go real like, you know, think about it like a baseball game and go like hot dogs and friggin' or corn dogs. Oh God, I love corn dogs. They're me so too. Good. You know, corn dogs, mac and cheese, you know, like super like American for the cocktail reception. And then dinner can be the Mexican food. But I really, really want to caution you. I know that I'm from a Mexican family. My in-laws are Mexican. Like, I get it. They want to help and they're fine helping and they're not moaning and complaining. But I've seen mommies cooking the food for these weddings and they're just exhausted. They're so tired. And then you got to get the food there and it's got to be in, you know, you got to serve the food. And there's a lot entailed with home cooked meals brought to a wedding. So again, I don't know all the back. I don't know what the venue is. I don't know where you are. I don't know how many guests you're having. There's a lot, but, I think we've given some good options. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, rehearsal dinner is the Mexican food. Let your mother-in-law cook the rehearsal dinner food. Yeah. But I know that they really want, it doesn't have to be carnitas. It doesn't have to be pork. Or you can offer an alternative too. You can also do carne asada and you can do chicken as well. You can have all three different types of protein, which I love because when I order tacos, I always order different types or the shrimp or, you know, whatever. So...
yeah, I think we need to give you a little pep talk also that just because there's a certain thing that your fiance's family is used to at weddings and might you think expect doesn't mean that that's what you have to do at your wedding.
Yep.
A wedding is, you know, a celebration of you two uniquely humans, just the two of you, and should be a reflection of what you love and what you want to share and how you would want to host a party and what speaks to you too. And if you have some favorite things that you and your partner like to eat, like that can trump carnitas as a family tradition at your wedding. If there's anything like that, or if that kind of like permission would help you, it is about you too. So you don't have to do what is served That's at right. every wedding that
you don't have his family to goes do it. To. Now, I know that a lot, like I know that his family is going to be like, if they go to a wedding and they have like not the food they're used to, they could be sitting there making faces and like, ¿qué es esto? The tías and all that, making some talking shit. But you know what? They're going to eat the food that's in front of them and they'll be fine. They'll drink, they'll eat, they'll dance, they'll have fun because that is what they want to do. So. Yeah. That's very true, Christy. We do have to have the talk. You know, like you don't have to feel pressure to do what they always do. You do something completely different, which would be kind of cool. Some of them might be like, how refreshing.
Or also like, you know? I never would have tried that if we hadn't gone to the wedding and they served it. And now I love that, you know. Mm-hmm. Chicken and waffles or whatever it is that you guys love and you're sharing at your wedding.
What is this? Biscuits and gravy. What is this? Yeah. Wow, this is blowing my mind. Right. All right, there you go, Sydney. Hope that helped. Let us know what you decide. Also, I really am curious about the food. I'm hungry. Okay, we have another voice mail from Megan. Here you go.
Hi, my name is Megan, and I've been a big fan of your guys' podcast for a couple months now, ever since I got engaged. So a little backstory, I got engaged this past Christmas Eve. Me and my fiance now have been together for little over 4 years. And so we got engaged Christmas Eve, and I was, of course, so excited because I've always dreamed of wedding planning, and I've enjoyed listening to wedding podcasts before I got engaged. But, so, this past couple months have been a little bit difficult because I recently found out that I am pregnant, which we are over the moon about and very excited, but it was not planned and we weren't planning on having kids before we got married. So I have kind of a double-ended question. The first part of my question is, a lot of my family is telling me that I need to get married before the baby comes for religious reasons and just the fact that they are very conservative and that's what they believe. But there are a few things to go along with that. First of all, we don't want a courthouse wedding. We want the wedding of our dreams. And second of all, I really wanted to get married on June 4th because June 4th is my parents' wedding anniversary and it's my grandparents' wedding anniversary. So that was also really important to me. And so I'm not sure how to tell them that that's not what we want. The second part of my question is, how do I still feel like a bride and in this engagement season while I am now pregnant and not really planning my wedding because I'm planning for a baby? So how do I still feel like a bride? Thank you guys so much for all of your advice and all of your help. I really appreciate it in this very stressful time. And you guys always make me smile. So thank you very much.
So yeah, what she wants to do is have her wedding next year.
She's not going to have a shotgun wedding, which was my experience. I found out I was pregnant.
Yeah, but why did you decide to do the shotgun wedding? You know what I mean? Because, you could talk about
but
that.
But we wouldn't, she and her fiance were already engaged and planning to get married at some point. Found out she was pregnant after engagement. We found out we were pregnant and we're like, what are we going to do? Are we going to get engaged and get married? And then did it on the fast. But we were not anywhere near getting engaged. We were nearer to breaking up than we were getting engaged at that point when we got pregnant. Like, so our basic advice is always do you, like, stay true to yourself and do what you want to do and don't worry about what your family is thinking. I also got married legally at a courthouse in San Francisco, so the most beautiful courthouse in the world, in my opinion. But it was still like, you know, we still had to just do paperwork. I wasn't wearing a dress. It wasn't a big thing. It was just going in, and then we got to get married. I needed to do that legally because I needed the health insurance that my husband had for the prenatal care. So that was like, yeah, it wasn't the wedding of my dreams. I mean, it was definitely more, we just needed the red tape. It was the logistics of it. So it doesn't sound like you're in that boat or that you want to get married that way. So don't. I mean, keep your June 4th
and have your baby
and then the baby is there at the wedding.
I love that. You have the opportunity to get married on the anniversary of your grandparents and on the anniversary of your parents. I've had clients do that. It is so special. It is so beautiful. Also, when you do that, bring a cake out for each of them if grandparents are still around. But I agree. There's no reason unless you need it legally for, you know, insurance, like Christy said, or whatever it is. I hear, you know, your family, it's for religious reasons, and I understand that's important to them. Like, I get it, but this is the beginning of many times where your family is going to interject into your life, especially once that baby comes, and tell you what they think is best. It's hard because you want to make your parents happy, but at the same time, I mean, Christy, if you weren't pregnant during your wedding, I mean, you would have been able to drink, you know, like you would have been able to have a little bit more, get let loose a little more. I feel like if what you want to do is wait until June 4th to get married, that's what you should do. And that baby is going to come into love and be healthy and happy. That baby does not give a shit if you're married or not, by the way. And that doesn't matter.
And your baby will be in some of the wedding photos. I mean, it's
yes!
not.
Yes. So I love that.
We like wrote out what your voicemail was so that we could read it. Yes. And it says that I wasn't planning on having a kid before we got married. That's like, Hey, best laid plans. Stuff happens. You're both adults living your life. You're not a virgin. Hello. It was unplanned. So there's the sentence we weren't planning. And then there's the sentence we don't want. We don't want a courthouse wedding. It's really important to me that I get married on June 4th. So that the we don't want gets more weight than the we weren't planning. Like the planning is done. You're pregnant. Like it's happening. You can't plan around that anymore. And I felt
you weren't
like,
planning on it, but it's a happy unplanned thing. Like we're happy about this. Whereas the courthouse, we're going to be like, no, this is not. This isn't making me happy.
Yeah, I don't want to do this. So I just want to remind you and lift you up that being a bride planning your wedding and also being a woman expecting a baby and painting a nursery and trying to figure out maternity leave, like those are not mutually exclusive. Yes, it's a little more complicated to plan a wedding at the same time that you're doing your Lamaze classes. Like it's not what you thought you would be doing. I was in that same boat. I did not think I would be looking for maternity wedding dresses. And it sort of like took the air out of my tires for a while in terms of experiencing it. But I had a wonderful wedding and I have had and I have wonderful kids and I'm married still and I'm happy. So it's going to work out one way or another. These experiences of being a bride and being a mom are not mutually exclusive. It's not like you can't have both. It's a Venn diagram. They're going to overlap. This is your experience. You are pregnant and you are planning a wedding. You want to have your baby and then you want to have your wedding. That is all possible.
Yeah, and I think also because of the second part of your question, like how do I still feel like a bride when I'm now pregnant and not really planning a wedding because I'm getting ready for the baby? If you're going to wait till next year to have your wedding, that's going to allow you to be the expectant mama and do the nursery and do all that stuff and then go do the wedding. Like this will allow you. I don't know when the baby's due. That's the other question. I have no idea when you're due, but I think it'll kind of allow you to have that time to be mama and then the time to be bride. And just so you know, it might not be your dream wedding anymore because once that baby comes, things shift, right? Our priorities shift a little bit. And that's totally great. I can't tell you how many weddings I've done for clients or seen over the years of doing this podcast where people's priorities shifted and they had a way more like authentic, real, loving, just all about love, good wedding, right? Not like, what are the colors and what are this and the this and that. And it wasn't all about the material. It was more about the love and that beautiful family unit that will now be three of you.
Yeah.
And that baby is just going to be a blessing and going to already like, you know, create a union for you and your fiance's families. Like, I just love it. I think it's beautiful. And this is not a negative at all whatsoever. You're going to have to stand up to your family and be like, I'm sorry.
We're having the baby and then we're having the wedding.
But let's focus on this. Yeah, let's focus on this baby. These are happy times.
Sometimes it takes getting the rug pulled out from under you. Like just like best laid plans. Like, oh, did you think your life was going to go this way? Whoop. And the rug gets pulled and you end up by taking your hands off the wheel a little bit. And I'm like mixing my metaphors here. But the idea is like, I never knew I would be here this way or this soon, but I am, and it's my life and it's wonderful and I'm grateful. I mean, sometimes it takes just like, especially with someone like me, I'm such a type A planner that when I got pregnant by absolute surprise at a time in my life where I was so far away from thinking that was even a possibility, it was just like, you can't plan, like you're here. You're here.
Life
it's happening.
Life is what happens yeah. while you're planning a wedding.
And also, I want to just note that, like, we are women. We take on a lot in our life and a lot of different roles. And we're told that some are more important than others. And we're, like, society, like, oh, a bride and the wedding day is all about you. Oh, a mom. You're fulfilling right. your duty as a woman in this world. And, like, it's all bullshit. You are a woman. You have dynamics. You're going to play a lot of different roles in your life to a lot of different people. It is okay if bride overlaps right. with mom, because they're both yeah. you.
Right. This is what's happening in your life. This is
and
Megan's
congratulations.
Journey now. Yeah. This is all happy stuff. Come on now. I'm so happy for you, Megan. I think if you have a girl, you might want to consider Michelle, Christy, whatever your last name is, right?
Mm-hmm. Let us know. Keep us posted.
In that order. Michelle, Christy, whatever your last name is. Okay.
You can do it.
And we got one more we're going to just like squeeze in here. This is an email we got recently from Leslie. And she's having a little trouble. She lives abroad. Okay. So I'm going to read this.
Well, you wrote her
actually,
back,
no, Christy,
right?
You read it. Yeah. I didn't write her back. I said we're going to answer. No, but you read it.
Okay. My fiance and I got engaged last year after being together for over 5 years, and we are so excited. My fiance is from Denmark, and we originally met in Iceland. Since then, we have lived in a few different countries and have been picking up new friends along the way. We currently live in Sweden. We're planning our wedding to be stateside in America in 2022. Living in Sweden, my fiancé and I have made several new friends, but we're actually not planning on inviting any of them to the USA wedding, which makes sense because they all see you there all the time.
Yeah.
Right. As our guest list with family and closest friends is already at 150 people, and we are working with a limited budget. I have really been enjoying the wedding planning process, and I sometimes feel excited to share it with the people I talk to here, but I hesitate to do so since I'm not planning on inviting them to the wedding. Some of the people most likely already would understand, but some might expect an invitation. Is there an unspoken code to who you can talk to about wedding planning details when you're spending so much time on it and you're just so excited? Additionally, one of the above recent friends of mine moved to Sweden around the same time as us and got married after we had been friends for about a year. She doesn't have many friends and can be a little rude in group environments in a stressful way, but she invited me to be her maid of honor. I was happy to do so, but let's just say I don't feel close enough with her to ask for the favor in return, which she might or definitely expects. Do you have to reciprocate bridal party memberships, and how can you break it to someone if you won't reciprocate, nor likely even give an invite to them? Okay. Oh my fiance and I plan to host a party in Sweden before or after. This is what we were going to say, right, Michelle?
Yeah, I was going to say this.
We plan to host a party in Sweden after or before our wedding next year with all of our Swedish community so we can have a chance to celebrate with the friends we've made here. Thanks for
your
input.
There you go.
Yeah. So that's the solution. Okay.
First of all, Leslie, you need to stop being so friendly. You and your fiance are liked way too much by way too many people. This is a problem. You have to stop being so friendly, because then when it comes to planning a wedding, you got to invite everybody. Can we just say this to everybody? Stop being so damn friendly and nice. Stop letting people like you so much that they drive you crazy because you think they need to be invited to your wedding, okay? Secondly, Leslie, yes, this is our answer. I was literally going to say this. Can you have a reception celebration in Sweden, you know, in addition to the one in the US? So you're fine. You're golden.
Yeah.
This is fine. Listen, I've had people talk to me about their weddings and, you know, wherever the hell they're getting married that are far away and there's no way in hell they know I'm going to go to it. They could be excited with me. Am I a wedding planner? Does everybody talk to me about their wedding? Yeah. But I mean, it's totally like acceptable. Like, I don't see why and you just say like, they should know this already. We're having the wedding in, you know, wherever it is in California or whatever. And, you know, they'll know this already. And we're going to have the reception here in Sweden. They already know they're invited to the one in Sweden. Your friend who asked you to be her maid of honor after she's known you for a year.
Yeah, she had her own circumstances.
Yeah. She's probably just not as friendly as you, you know? And so you were very nice to do that for her, but no, you do not.
It doesn't make
not have to
any
have her
sense
reciprocate
in
any way.
It doesn't make any sense for like your coworkers in Sweden that you see every day and that know you two as a couple. Maybe you have dinner with them, you hang out with them, you're social. It makes zero sense for you to and them to all fly all the way to America to have your wedding and then all the way back when you see each other all the time in Sweden. It just wouldn't, I can't. Yeah. The best solution is just to have another party. And if you do it after your wedding, then you can show like a little slideshow or some photos.
Right.
Or you could, you know, restate your vows in a more like casual way if you want to have less, you know, less of a formal party.
I agree. I think it makes sense to have it after, you know, total sense. So
but
I
to
think
invite people
that.
Before, like it should be on the calendar. Like, you know, it's going
to
happen a week or two after
send
you get
save
back.
The date.
Yeah.
Do they do that in Sweden?
Sure.
Do that. Send the save the date.
A text message even to all your friends. It can be an evite out to all your friends locally. We're going to have a party to celebrate our wedding.
Very, very well designed because Swedish people typically have these really nice, beautiful, clean line designs on things. I really like Swedish design. That was a side note. But yeah, I think it makes total sense to talk to everybody about your wedding in the U.S. that you're super excited for and can't wait, that your family and friend, you know, your family's going to be there for, and also how excited you are about the Swedish wedding reception that you're going to have, and it's going to be so much fun. Yes. And if they don't want to hear about it or talk to you about it, you know what?
What?
No. No. What the hell, man? That's messed up. So whatever. But I think that, you know, that about does it for that.
That's I don't have anything else to say about that. Good job.
All righty. Well, this was a big one. Okay. Thank you to everybody who emailed us and called us and those Patreon members and those people that wrote those lovely reviews on Apple Podcasts. We love you all so much. That is a wrap for May. Don't forget about the masterclass sale. Tell your friend about it. Tell your mom. I think that's it, right?
Yeah. And try the code. Try the discount codes. Yeah.
Right. MDay150, the big wedding.
Yeah, you could get lucky.
.com. Happy Memorial Day, everybody.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search The Big Wedding Planning Podcast Community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625 and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.